Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Countrified UK podcast, brought to you all the way from the United Kingdom, bringing you your weekly fix of everything country. And now your hosts, Ben and Blaine.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode number 45 of the Countrified UK podcast, direct live from Nashville at the 50th anniversary of the CMA Fest. I'm sat here right next to my co-host, Ben.
Hi guys, welcome back to another part two episode of the part four Nashville special. Like Blaine says, we're here in Nashville straight after the Nissan Stadium's performance tonight. It's been another packed day, and I'm sure we'll tell you all about it just as soon as we can.
Yeah, as Ben says, it's been a super packed day. Wanted to get you all the freshest stuff about like what's happening in the Nissan Stadium tonight. We had an early morning this morning. Yep. We woke up and we spoke to Taylor Holder, Kid G, Darianne Lee and Emily Ann Roberts, which are all interviews which are in this episode today, so sit tight a tiny bit later on for all them. But how's your day been so far, Ben?
Yeah, it's been amazing. Like you say, it was an early start. Yesterday was the first real day of where we started all the interviews and we got a first taste of what all the festival's about. It was really tiring, really good. Obviously, we'd been travelling the day before, so still kind of picking up from there. We've been busy again today, early interviews, four big interviews today as well, all a really good mix of people. A couple of unexpected ones that we weren't really planning on, but turned out to be really good. And then we just managed to catch the stadium as well, so pretty perfect day.
It is. Once we completed our interviews, which you'll hear a bit later on, we had a little wander down Broadway where all the festivities were happening, checked in on a couple of the stages, seen a couple of the performers, but we couldn't not go and see our friends Restless Road perform at the Riverside stage.
Yeah, it was amazing as well. It was the upgrade from last year, the stage they were on. It was, you know, outside of the Nissan Stadium, it really is the biggest stage there. So you could tell just by their performance, and they had a really big crowd as well, all there to join in, and it was just amazing. We managed to get situated right in the middle, as you've probably seen on either TikTok or Instagram. And that was amazing. Like Blaine says, we couldn't miss that. So we made a little special trip down to the stage for them.
We were so excited when we first found out that, because we got insider information off Restless Road when they were across here in London, and we were out with them on a night out, and they actually told us that they were performing there. We had to keep that under wraps, and that was quite hard to do because obviously, like we've said before, we're really friendly with Restless Road, and like when you see friends succeed, it's like the best thing in the world. And like next step for them is going to be like the Nissan Stadium for certain.
Yeah, Nissan Stadium, and that's just for CMA Fest. Obviously, they've got such plans coming up as well, as in more tours, more music. They've just got the new single out, which has seemed to be going down a hit. So it was really good to see them succeed, like you say, and nice to see what they've got coming up. And we might have a little bit of a special coming up in a couple of weeks to come for you to look forward to.
Definitely. And one of the best things about their performance is sang all the hits, sang like Take Me Home and stuff like that, Growing Old With You, Sundown Somewhere. But they actually sang their brand new single, Last Rodeo, which, if you haven't heard it, get listening to it, guys, because it's completely different to everything else they've made. It's definitely got that country grit feel about it, and it's definitely one to be heard.
Yeah, it's definitely a personal song to them as well.
But what was absolutely amazing about today, because we only had like a handful of interviews today, which was great, we got to see a tiny bit more of the stage, tiny bit more of the city. Yeah. Got to go out, have a few little more drinks.
No, definitely.
Go and enjoy yourselves.
Really a more slightly relaxing day. I think we finished the interviews just slightly earlier than we did yesterday. So like Blaine says, we managed to get down into Broadway, grab a little bit of food, some drinks, watch all the acts that we really wanted to see, and just enjoy the festival as well. It was nice. It was a bit like a holiday.
It was. So we'll give you a little bit of rundown what happened in the Nissan Stadium from our point of view, because as we said in the previous episode, and if you're just joining on this one, during CMA Fest, there's stages all around the city, but the Nissan Stadium's where like all your country superstars are. There's two stages in there. There's the main stage and then your little platform stage. On the platform stage, they're like the new up-and-coming rising stars. Yeah. So in years to come, they'll be the people that will be headlining the shows, no doubt. But yeah, The stadium, the walk across the stadium, across the bridge that you do every time, was so jam-packed. When we finally got into the stadium, we actually missed the opening act, unfortunately, which was Tanya Tucker, who was on stage for 20 minutes. And for everyone that knows Tanya Tucker, you know she's a country music icon, she's a legend. She's got so many good songs. 20 minutes isn't a great amount of time. So we're a tiny bit gutted that we did miss her, but we got pretty much the rundown from everyone.
All the people around were told how amazing she was, and they'd managed to luckily catch her. Unfortunately, like Blaine says, we were caught up in the crowds a little bit, and it is hard when you're walking over the bridge as well. You get caught up in all the sights and just the excitement of it all. So it's not something you really want to rush over to. But unfortunately, we did miss her, but we've only heard good things about her from the guys that were sat around us.
100%. So who was next on stage?
Yeah, it was Lainey Wilson, and she was on for there or thereabouts 30 minutes, which obviously that really got the crowd going. She's a bit of an icon at the moment, and she's really big all over, not just in country music, but she's becoming bigger just worldwide, to be fair. She sung three songs, which all of them were amazing. They were just better and better, and the crowd really started to get behind her on this, and it set the evening up for a really good night.
Yeah, like Ben says, she was massive rising talent. If, like, from the first time she came on the scene, if you roll back through our podcast, you'll hear us saying how much she reminded us of Dolly. And, like, that show alone, like, just put that stamp on that. Like, the way she, a stage performance and, like, the way she graced the stage was unbelievable. She even brought Tanya Tucker out, which was good. So we actually did get to see Tanya Tucker.
Nice that we did get to see just a little snippet of her as well and see how good she was. But the three songs that she sang were Heart Like a Truck, Watermelon Moonshine, and then she finished off with Things a Man Ought to Know. There's not much else that I really need to say just over how good it was.
Yeah, she was on stage 30 minutes, blasting through her songs. But obviously, she sang her three main hits there, and they were unbelievable. Like, literally, I couldn't even pick a favourite song out of all them. Like, everyone was, like, up out the chairs dancing. But next on stage, an artist that we're really excited about, someone who's just won, like, one of the, new country artist awards at the American Country Music Awards, was Hayley Witters. And she was on the little platform stage. She had a 10-minute slot. She sang two songs. And one of, like, her most popular song that everyone knows is Everything She Ain't. And she gave a massive speech before it saying how this song had pretty much changed her life. It only takes one song in Nashville to change your career. And that is literally her song. And again, massive, like, Dolly Parton vibes. 100%. The way she talks, accent, she's unbelievable.
Yeah, some of these women coming through, and that, like Lainey Wilson, Hayley Witters, and so many more coming through. It's like these are the replacements for the old icons like your Dolly Partons and stuff, and it's just refreshing to see that they're going to be taking the reins, so to speak, and carrying country music forward like this for many years to come, and inspiring lots of other artists as well. All of these up and coming artists use these girls as their kind of idols that got them into music and who they kind of base themselves off. You don't just take our word for how good Hayley Witters was. I think we've got a little bit of a clip on our TikTok.
Yeah.
If you want to check it out and see how she was. And pretty amazing.
Got a verse and a chorus of Everything She Ain't and the little speech beforehand, so definitely go and check that out. But then next to Grace the Stage, who had a 30-minute slot, which felt so much longer, in a good way though. Like, and I actually think it was the star of the show that day, was your man, Kojo, Cody Johnson. What an unbelievable performance. So came out, even brought Reba McEntire out, the duet, Whoever's in England. He sang like his hits like Dear Rodeo, Human, Till You Can't, and Dance You Home, and Let's Build a Fire.
Yeah, unbelievable performance. Definitely one of the highlights, if not the highlight of this evening. I don't think there was a single person in the stadium that was sat down for his entire performance from the second he walked out to even 5 minutes after he left. People cheering afterwards.
I literally think he went on for 40 minutes. Like, he was that good. Everyone just turned around and said, basically his engagement with the crowd, getting them to sing along, getting them to do chants. He also did like a massive thing for like doctors, nurses, military, police, like.
Yeah, he really engaged with the crowd and just such a showman and showing that respect for all of the first responders and servicemen and women. Just obviously in a stadium like that with an atmosphere the way that it already was, that just really topped it off and kind of put your hairs on end a little bit. On it was a bit goosebumps.
Yeah, and definitely Cody Johnson has to come across to the UK, either to country or to do his own little show.
Yeah, it'll definitely be something for us to look forward to if that happened. Yeah, be pretty special.
And then straight after Cody Johnson, you were straight back to the platform stage for another little 10-minute slot of two songs by Dalton Dover. Another unbelievable artist, someone who's rose to fame like over a short amount of time. Definitely through TikTok, his music's become well known. But what a performance. He like previewed a new song. And then he sang like one of his most popular songs from a small town as well, which was unbelievable.
No, he's unbelievable voice. And like you mentioned, the TikTok, he's one of these new country artists that's really grabbed social media and used that to bring him into the spotlight. And it's working for him and it's paying off. And his voice is just phenomenal. And if you've never heard of him before, you need to find him because he's going to be a big, big star in the next few years.
100%. So the next artist that came onto the main stage, and someone who, like, I wasn't really too particularly bothered about seeing, was Miranda Lambert. And again, she had a 30-minute slot. Only reason I say that is because back when we went to country in 2021, Miranda Lambert headlined on the Saturday night, and I just think it was just a flat performance. Like, she wasn't very engaging with the crowd. Half the people had left. Yeah. I think it was the way the show'd scheduled. But tell you one thing, Miranda Lambert has got me back as a fan now. She came on. She had a handful of guests. So she sang "Drunk" with Ellie King, and Ellie King came out to sing her part in that song as well. And she sang "Mama's Broken Heart," "Bluebird," "I Was a Cowboy," and "The House That Built Me." But the highlight of her show was when she brought out Avril Lavigne, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%. This is the first time I'd seen Miranda Lambert. I didn't have that preconception of what she may or may not be like from another show. So I was going into it a little bit more as a free mind, I guess. But the star for me was seeing Avril Lavigne, not necessarily as a country singer. I wasn't expecting it at all, but growing up, I was born in the 90s, so you couldn't really escape Avril Lavigne. She was someone that I never really thought I would see. And then in a really strange setting that I would never have expected, I've managed to see her and everyone just loved it. I've noticed on Broadway a few times the kind of mix 90s era music with a bit of country when...
Yeah, a lot of bands sing like Blink 182 or Offspring and stuff. But Avril Lavigne came out and her and Miranda Lambert did a duet of Kerosene. And then literally Miranda Lambert give Avril Lavigne the stage to sing, obviously, Skater Boy. So that was definitely something to see. And like Ben said, so unexpected. The crowd all had the phones out and everyone was reliving the youth.
Yeah, 100%.
And then back off that performance, we had Keith Urban came on stage. Again, someone we've seen at the last CMA Fest. And then we'd seen him in like our hometown of Newcastle at a really small, intimate venue. But he was on stage for 30 minutes. He sang like all his hits, such as like "Blue Ain't Your Colour," "Somebody Like You," "We Were," "Brown Eyed Baby," and "One Too Many." But with Keith Urban, and if anyone's seen you like seen him perform, he loves to get into the crowd.
Yeah. No, he's definitely not shy of just standing on the stage. He wants to be in it. He loves it. You can tell. And in return, so does the crowd, and they respond to that more than just about any performance I've seen.
Yeah, he was like stood, like he got his guitar, he ran straight into the crowd, forgot all his security, just went, started just jumping up on seats, playing his guitar, singing. It was absolutely unbelievable. Like Keith Urban brings a lot of energy to the stage. He brings like a lot of smiling, just his songs are all like, well, most of them are like feel good songs, especially the ones he was singing. And yeah, if anyone was built for a stadium, definitely Keith Urban.
Especially the time slot that he was given as well. Like, obviously, you need to remember that, as most of you, I presume, have been to a festival at some point, by the time it gets to late evening, anywhere between 10 and 11 o'clock, you're pretty tired and you just, as much as you're enjoying it, you're kind of starting to think, I really need to get to bed now. We'd been up since about 7 o'clock that morning, busy all day. And then Keith Urban came out and just kind of rejuvenated you and kind of brought you back to life a little bit. Got everything going and it was really, really good.
So then tonight we had one more final act to see, and someone that we were desperate to see, someone that we've been fans of from like day one. We had tickets to see Moore and Wallin in a small venue in our hometown before COVID hit, and this guy was going to support him, and it's no other than Hardy. So Hardy was like finishing off the show. You could call him the headline act. He was on stage 30 minutes. Absolutely unbelievable. Again, he brought out like a handful of people on stage with him. So he sang Wait in the Truck, and he brought Lainey Wilson back out. He sang One Beer with, and then brought out Lauren Elena and Devin Dawson. He sang songs like Jack and Truck Bed. But it was really cool to see, and I think like it was great for like, Hardy's great for country music. One is he a great songwriter, but his music sounds slightly different. He's absolutely fantastic. And the annoying thing is, like, country music isn't like what it used to be. There's so many subgenres, and someone might not look the part, or someone might not sound like specifically like they should. But around us, quite a few people had left because, like, although it was getting late, I understand that. But yeah, Hardy's like, they weren't particular fans. They were more fans of, like, you know, your Reba McEntire's and Tanya Tucker's and all that. And Hardy's like this new generation coming through, and the first song he came out with, like the guitars hit, the bass and the drums was coming out, and he just ran out and started screaming the song on, and it was amazing.
Like you say, he doesn't necessarily fit the bill of that iconic previous style of country music. I fully respect all the old schools going forward, and they've inspired all of these current artists to be who they are today. But Hardy is also one of the artists that really got me into country music, because he collaborates with so many different artists, not just in country music. It's a very unique style of country music. Like you say, he's an unbelievable songwriter. There's not a single person that we've spoke to that's worked with him that has not expressed how good he is at songwriting, and just how inspirational he is to them as well. So he really is someone that should be looked up to in the same light as a lot of the older guys out there, but maybe his time will come for the older generation as well to come round.
Yeah, absolutely. So overall, my favourite artist of the night was Cody Johnson. Who was yours, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was the favourite artist, but it was a definite highlight. It was Avril Lavigne. Hardy as well was someone that I absolutely loved. I've been wanting to see him since I started all of this and really got into country music, so Hardy might just tip it for me, and Avril Lavigne definitely a special little note in there, made my night as well.
Yeah, I think Cody Johnson was my favourite performance, and my favourite part in the night was possibly when Hayley Whittis sang Everything She Had. They were the two best things. But guys, that was day two in the Nissan Stadium, and like, it was a fantastic night. We've literally just walked through the door and was like, we need to go this episode, get it out, get all these interviews. Yeah. So, talking about interviews, this morning we interviewed Taylor Hilder, Kid G, Darianne Lee, and Emily-Ann Roberts. Yeah. Four completely different artists in what they do, how they've got into music and everything like that. They're all going to each tell their story of how they got into this and what they've all got upcoming. It's fantastic. So stay tuned, listen to that, and I hope you enjoy these interviews, guys.
Great. Enjoy.
So we are now joined by Taylor Hilder. How are you today?
What's going on, man? I'm doing great. What about you?
Really, really good. Let's go. This is an interview that we've been so excited for.
Dude, thank you, man.
So like everyone back home, like even if they don't know country music, definitely knows who Taylor is as well.
For real?
Yeah.
Dude, I've never like made my way out there, but I always wonder, I'm like, I wonder if they know me out there. I wonder if they like, you know what I mean? So that always goes through my mind. That's cool.
100%. Like everyone knows who you are across there.
Yeah.
So
like, for the people that might not have heard of you before, who is Taylor Holder?
Taylor Holder. I mean, I'm just kind of all over the place, man. I'm a, you know, social media guy. I'm an artist, a little bit of everything. Singer, songwriter, influencer.
And before you started your music, well, whilst doing your music, you were like a massive star on TikTok and social media. Can we talk a tiny bit about that and how that came about and like how you were well known for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, it came about so randomly, man. Like I was just making videos back in Texas with two of my best friends at the moment. And you know, God just started moving a bunch of mountains, man. And we ended up all moving out to LA together at 18 and just like going for it. We didn't even really have any success. We were just like, we didn't have that much. We just went out there with an idea and a dream, and it just, we ended up meeting some awesome people, and the TikTok app came around. And it was so funny because I was so against it, man. I was like, oh, like all my boys are, you got to get on this app, blowing up. And I was like, dude, I can't, it's so cringy, man. I can't do it. And let alone here we are now, a couple years later, I hopped on it and I was doing all the cringy stuff as well. Yeah. But you know, it's a blessing and a curse, man. It definitely got me to where I am here, but stepping out of it to try to do like country music, whenever that's not how I got known, it made it a little tough for sure.
And so like when you stepped outside of like the TikTok and like all the sort of dances and videos that you put out, how was like the sort of country scene taken to you and to your music?
So the actual country scene, like moving to Nashville, man, like it's so crazy because I mean, a lot of people also don't know, like I grew up like team rope with my dad. Like I grew up like in this environment, you know, this is home to me, but I blew up in the very LA like city vibe. I was adapted to that lifestyle for quite some time. So I'm just back home now, man, you know, like we're going through that. But the actual like Nashville environment and all these like people that I've looked up to for my entire life in country music, it's so cool to be able to like call to my friends and see such like great support by them. Like a good friend of mine, Dylan Scott, I'm going on tour with him this fall. Like he's bringing me with him, and just to like be so accepted by people when I've been here for such a short amount of time has been so amazing. But the public guy, like I said, I was like this TikTok kid. So being accepted by them is taking a little bit longer. It's taking a little bit of nudging, you know, but that's where I'm just like, I'm patient, man. I sit back. I'm like, you know, over time, the music will speak for itself.
So. And that's it. And like the more you wear, the better things come as well. And so do you think like with that social media background as well, do you reckon that has helped with the music and like your views and pushing music out?
Absolutely. I think it helped, but not as much as what people think it is, right? So I always tell people, and this was told to me and I didn't ever like really understand, because like being an influencer and being in that big environment so at such a large scale, I'm so used to like millions and millions of views on everything, right? Whenever you go to the music side, that doesn't always convert over to streams. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like a big newsflash. You're like, okay, wow, this is actually starting from more ground zero than I thought I was, you know, because I hate saying it, but like this isn't, I blew up as like a hot guy on the internet. I didn't blow up as like an artist, you know? And so trying to do that is, people are always like, oh, you're a TikTok kid. You should just stay in your own side. Like, don't even like da 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 da. You're shit. You're the, you know? So, It makes it hard, but it's not exactly the most converting thing.
I think it's a good thing as well, because I'm a huge boxing fan and I know that you did boxing.
Yeah.
And like when all these YouTubers come into boxing, it brings a new audience in. And like, I know some of the hardcore fans.
Between me and you, no one knows about this, but I was supposed to fight July 22nd here in Nashville, but my guy backed out, so I'm not fighting anymore.
Right.
But I was training. Yeah, I've been, dude, I always tell people too, I'm like, I hate that was the public's like first, you know, like fighting, right? In the public eye, because in camp, I was sparring Canelo. I was sparring Ryan Garcia. I was sparring like all these people. And like, I was like looking really sharp, man, but no one can understand like whenever you get out there. How did that, I don't even know how that started playing. but you know, no one can like understand what it feels like to go out there in front of like 30,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
And like I walked out there and I'm telling you, like my heart just completely fell out of my ass. Like I just completely froze up, didn't know what to do, and it was just something like you can't train for, you know. So but I like that you're a fighting fan, man.
It's awesome. Absolutely.
Do you fight as well a little bit?
No, but I've got leg tattoos. I've got Tank on one leg, Eddie Hearn on the other.
Dude, Eddie's a great person.
I love him. And he's so good for boxing.
Yeah.
But like talking about going out in front of 30,000 people, like you've suffered in the past and still do with like stage fright.
So bad. Yeah, I always tell people, because everyone's like, that's so crazy. I would think that you would be so good. Dude, going to bars, going to anything public, like honestly, the social media side of everything, you would think with how public my life is that I'd be like pretty good with that stuff. You know what I mean? And used to it. But honestly, I have like the worst like public anxiety, stage fright. Like I think it's also because like of how like TikTok is so judgmental. Like everyone is so mean on there, you know, without even knowing these individuals. And And so with how judgmental it is and how open it is to like getting so many people to see you like mess up, you know, is it's a scary thing, you know, man.
And do you think that's getting better the more like shows that you perform?
It is getting better. You know, once I get out there, I'm always like, I always have this like really like scary like bug in my stomach right before I go on stage and I'm freaking out. I'm usually shaking. And I usually, after I get through about the like halfway through or through the first song, I'm chilling. I kind of start interacting with them. I can hear them like cheering for me. So it's just like, it makes me feel a lot better, you know? So I just get out there. Everything. It's so funny because like, even though you're thinking about like killing it, you're also thinking like, oh my God, like what if I just absolutely just torch this and just mess up everything, you know? So it's just, there's so many things going through my mind.
And then going to your music, like one of our favorite songs, It's You. Like,
ooh,
like that's one of ours. So like, what is that song about?
It's You is like, it's about, you know, meeting that girl at a very like also like low point in your life, you know, like this girl might have like been used to like all like the super fancy things and a fancy lifestyle, and it's just kind of saying like, speaking from like, I kind of wrote that more about like a younger me, whenever it was before all this stuff where I didn't have all like these big houses and fancy things that like a lot of like this girl might have been used to, but I have like me, you know what I mean? And like I know that like I can love, like my love can like make you feel just as good as that, you know? So that's what that was about. But I think I like that you like It Too, man. I think you guys are really gonna, I have some new stuff coming out. I have a song coming out at the end of this month on June 30th. It's called Time in this Truck, and it's super like, if you like It You, because it's a little bit more fun than my most stuff, you'll really like this one. It's straight up a summer song, man. And it's, I got the chance, I'm sure you probably have these questions to ask me about the new music, but I was you know, I wrote It You with, you know, a couple of my buddies and all that stuff. But like I got to work on this project that I'm working on right now with like really great writers out here in Nashville, man. And it is just absolutely take my writing and my songs to the next level. So this new stuff's gonna be really awesome.
So, well, before you like started all your social media stuff, you were writing music back before that.
So I wasn't writing music because I didn't even like really know how, like, you know what I mean? Like I always loved music. I picked up a guitar when I was 9 years old. My grandma bought me my first guitar. And I played that. I was learning just like, you know, stupid basic chords, just learning like basics, and then picked up drums a little bit. Then I started playing piano, played saxophone in school. So I just all around like loved the idea and the creative side of music. But I grew up in this super small town called Alvarado, Texas, man. It's like 40 minutes south of Dallas. And there's like nobody there that really like did what I was doing, right? Like the social media side or music, like we had a couple, but so I didn't really know how to make music. And so going out to LA, you know, getting that success, I got to meet up with some really awesome people, you know, artists, producers, all that stuff, and kind of get in the studio and just like feel it out and like figure out like, do I even like this? You know, like what is it really like to make a song? And let me tell you, I made some really shitty music at first, you know what I mean? Just figuring it out. Yeah. But I fell in love with it. And I was like, man, I'm not the greatest at this, but I freaking love it, man. And it is so much fun being in here just creating. So I just kept doing it, man.
And do you feel like being in Nashville, like your writing skills have got better because like there's so many people out here and so many like creative inspirations and everything?
Dude, absolutely, man. It's like, even when I thought I was like somewhat doing it right, I came out here and like, obviously everyone has their own like style, but like, it just showed me like how much work I have to do still and like learning. And that's what I love though. Like I love like constantly like evolving and never being satisfied and like bettering myself every day. So being in the room with some of these greats, like, you know, I got to share the room with like Parker McCollum or like Shay Mooney with Dan and Shay and all these people, you know, to share the room with these people and like see how they bounce off and work is, it was honestly the most surreal thing I could have ever seen.
Take my hat off to you, because like going into like something completely different, throwing yourself right in the deep end.
Uh-huh.
Again, like you did with the boxing, like it takes a lot of like balls and guts to do that.
Absolutely.
So it must be a pretty scary experience.
Oh, dude, I was so nervous, especially like Shay Mooney. I tell people this all the time. We were talking about, because my buddy John right here, he was in there with me. We had the session at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, oh my gosh, dude, singing at 9 a.m. is just not ever ideal, you know? And so I went in there. I was already nervous because, you know, it's Shay, obviously. And granted, he's such a freaking cool guy, man. He's so nice. But I just go in there and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna be quiet over here for a minute. You know, I'm just gonna let them do their thing. I'm gonna see how they. And he started singing at 9 o'clock in the morning. He actually, like, hands down, is vocally one of the best male vocalists I've ever heard in my life. His voice is insane. And I was like, so I'm supposed to sing after that. Like, I'm supposed to compare to this right now. Like, ain't no way, man. So. It was cool.
Who would like your dream collaboration be on a track?
I would say my app, you know, I got a lot of like favorites. I got a lot of people that I really love and cool friends that I got, but I would say probably like an all time like dream of mine. I've loved him for such a long time. I look up to him as well. And then getting to meet him was even more awesome than seeing the person that he was. But Luke Combs, I would say Luke Combs is definitely my like dream collab. I freaking, you know, he's inspired me on a lot of the music that I write and make. And, you know, eventually I would love to start making, you know, more music kind of like inspired by him and based around that vibe.
I don't think he writes bad songs.
No, there's not one. And even if it's like, he could be saying the dumbest things in the song and his voice is just so good, man. And just like, I don't know. It feels like he's telling a story without even telling a story. I don't even know.
It's just a skill. Something that like not many people do, but. One like duet that you've sort of done before, and this is like not country related, but Connor Maynard.
Oh, the one that I did with Connor?
That was unbelievable.
You liked it, man? Dude, thank you. Connor, that was another really cool opportunity that I got to see because I've looked up to Connor. I saw him and like Williams and you know, all these like guys like Alex Ayano and all these that were doing those at the very beginning and all that stuff. They were crushing it. I was like, man, that'd be so cool, man. And I ended up hitting up William and I got in contact with William. We talked about doing one. And then me and Connor started talking as well. And at first, we were just going to do like a little 30-second one on TikTok. And he's like, you know what? I haven't done one in a long time. Like, let's do one on YouTube. Like, I haven't posted one in, you know, like a year. And I was like, that'd be freaking awesome. And he was like, I'll put it together. We'll do this. Dude, the way he does that, it's also cool. Like, a lot of people didn't know this, but it looks like we're in the same area. I was in LA and he was in the UK whenever we filmed it. We just filmed up against a white wall. And he made the microphones look like they were behind one another. And like, he's super talented at what he does, like how he puts all of them together. It was really, really awesome to see that.
Amazing. And so, well, finally, you said before that you've got like new music coming out. What does the rest of 2023 got in store for yourself?
This is going to be a wild ending to the year, man. I'm dropping my first ever EP. Like I said, I got a couple songs coming out before, but in like the next like 2 months at the most we're shooting for is we're dropping a 6-song EP. So lots of new music. Super excited for all these songs. And then we just announced a couple of days ago that I'm going on the road with Dylan Scott this fall. So we'll be on the road from like beginning of October to like end of beginning December. So just getting out there, this will be my first tour, hitting the road, just getting to really interact, perform my music. It's going to be a dream come true. So
it's going to be really cool.
It's going to be hard to top it next year. So.
And how's CMAFS been for you so far?
Dude, this is like the first day that we've kind of been getting started, but I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning. So I can say it's already been a wild one. You know, it's been long. So.
And have you got many performances this week?
I have two tomorrow. I have one for CMT, an acoustic thing. And then I have tomorrow night, I'm playing at the Hard Rock stage at 8 p.m. So that one will be really awesome. And then Saturday, I play at the Wild Horse Saloon for the Country Goes Global.
Oh. Yeah. I think we're coming along to that show as well. So
oh, yeah?
We'll see you there.
Dude, heck yeah. Which one? The Hard Rock under the Country Goes Global?
Yeah, that one.
Awesome. That'll be sick. That'd be sick.
It's going to be really good. But well, hopefully like one day we'll get you across to the UK and get some shows.
I was literally telling John, I was like, dude, we got to go over there. You know what I mean? I have some friends over there and all that stuff as well. But I was like, we got to get out there and just see what they're talking about. I hear so many great things over there. But yeah, I want to go.
Talking to many different people, they say like the audiences are very different. Like in the UK, they say, like listen to your music, listen to your lyrics and stuff, and it's more like of an intimate sort of gig. Even though it might be a massive arena, it still feels very intimate.
Absolutely. That's what I like to do with my music, man. You know, like I know, like, and I take pride too, like I know I'm not the best vocalist ever, like I know I'm not the greatest singer, but I, you know, like what I really hold close to me is like the stories that I tell in my music. You know, like I'm really good at like painting a picture, you know. Yeah. and I feel like everyone will see that in this new project that I have coming out. And just, you know, I know we make good music overall.
Well, country music's all about storytelling.
Absolutely. And that's like, why I love it so much.
And man, that's it. You might not have to be the best singer, but if you can stress a story that people can relate to, then yeah,
that's all it is, man, is connecting with the people listening. That's all it is. If you can do that, you win.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking to us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to finally meet you.
Absolutely.
And enjoy the rest of the year.
You as well. Thank you again for freaking supporting everything, man. No worries. And following the journey. I really appreciate you guys a lot, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
And so we are now joined by Emily Ann Roberts. How are you today?
I'm doing so good. Thank you for having me.
No worries. And we're at CMA Fest. How has it been so far for you this morning?
Oh, it has been so much fun. I got to play the Hard Rock stage earlier today, and it was crazy because I got to look out into that crowd, and there were all kinds of folks singing my songs right back to me. Which was nuts. That is like what you dream of. And so it is, I mean, I don't think I can get any better than that.
No, I cannot. And have you ever been to CMFS before, like as a fan?
Well, so I've, you know, actually, I have come, now that I am in Nashville, and been able to see some stuff as a fan, but I've also been working. Growing up, we didn't ever just come for fun, which we should have. And I've said that every year. I'm like, why did my mom and daddy not bring me here? They were too busy taking me to Dollywood. So I think I missed out quite a bit, but I'm thankful I'm making up for lost time now.
Oh, amazing. So you performed this morning and you've had a new single out called Affinity. Mm-hmm. And like, what's the reception been like with that song? And can you tell us a tiny bit about that song as well, please?
Absolutely. So Infinity means so much to me because it is about my husband. And we started dating in high school. So we've been together for 8 years now, married for 2 years, and he is just my better half for sure. He's like a solid rock in my life, and I couldn't do what I do without him. And so when I wrote that song, it just came to me and Stephanie Chapman one day when we were writing, because I was telling her about that and telling her about how I can't picture my life without him and forever won't be long enough to love him, even if we get it. And so that's how Infinity was born. And people have been loving it, and they've been messaging me saying, I'm going to use this for my first dance at my wedding. And that kind of stuff just means the world.
And apart from like your husband that you've just mentioned, where else do you take inspiration from when writing your music?
Well, he is a big inspiration in writing my music, but also I write, goodness gracious, I write a lot of songs just about things that I've been through. And then I love storytelling. I love to make up stories. Like we've got a song called He Set Her Off. And I have another song coming out later this year called The Devil Wears Denim. And both of those songs are story songs. It's not things that I've actually experienced, but I love kind of getting into a character and telling a story. So there's some real fun creativity in that. And then also just pulling from being a new wife and being a friend. I get inspiration from looking at my girlfriend's dating stinky boys. And I'm like, you need a better guy. That inspires a lot of my music as well. Like songs that I want my friends to listen to when they think about texting their rotten ex. Like, don't do it. Listen to this song instead. So that definitely inspires a lot of my songwriting too.
The song that you just mentioned there, He Set Her Off. Mm-hmm. Like, was loving like all the Instagram posts that you were putting
Thank
on
you.
And it was so funny. And the music video, like that must have been so fun to me.
Oh, the music video is like something I could hang my hat on. I'm so proud of that video. It meant the world to me to work with Leah Steiger. She was the producer of that video. And I basically just said, like, here's my vision. We've got to be in the salon. We got to be having girl talk. I want to burn a house down. Like, how can we make this happen? And I actually was able to reach out to the Seymour Volunteer Fire Department in East Tennessee, where I'm from. And they were able to do a training fire and let us film while they did the training fire. So that's how we were able to do that. And so many people have asked me, like, is that a green screen? They didn't believe we actually set a house on fire. But I'm like, no, it was real. We burned the house down and I smoked my first cigarette and it was so much fun.
Sounds crazy. I don't even know how health and safety allowed that to pass.
No, I know. Me neither. It was crazy, but made for a fun video.
Oh, it definitely did. And you've got like this summer, like a whole host of shows that you've got lined up as well. Out of everywhere that you've performed, where's your favorite place that you've performed at?
Oh man. Okay. Probably my favorite place has got to be the Grand Ole Opry here in Nashville. It means the world to me because I just pinch myself every single time I get to stand on that stage and think, are they sure they want me? Like me? Because that's something I dreamed about for years. And so it definitely is probably my favorite.
And how many times have you performed there?
16 times.
16 times.
And I'm playing again on July 14th. So that'll be 17.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very, very honored and thankful that I get to do it.
So in your career so far, what's like been the biggest achievement that you've achieved so far?
Oh, man. That's a tough question. I guess my biggest achievement, I would say, is not one that's about like making a bunch of money or having a big old hit song. But for me, it's finally getting to a place where I'm making music that I'm so proud of, that I feel like is authentic and real to me. For years, when I got to Nashville, there was a lot of different voices telling me that I needed to sound like somebody else in order to be successful. And people would say, you need to sound more like what's on the radio. And I would try to take who I was and put it in a little box and be who they wanted me to be. But I'm finally at a place now where I'm just saying, nope, I'm going to make the music that's real and that I believe in. And that just overcoming that and being in a place where I am confident enough to say, no, I'm going to do it my way. That's a huge achievement, I think, in my book.
And that's what country music is, like, and mm-hmm. whole, like, where it began from and stuff. So,
yeah.
And do you have a favorite artist at the minute that you listen to?
Well, so a new artist that I'm loving is Hayley Witters. I love her stuff. I think that it's so fun and that it's so country, and I love all the corn jokes that she makes. So I'm a big fan of hers. But I guess my all-time favorite artist would have to be Miss Dolly Parton. She is my absolute favorite.
Yeah, you can't do better Dolly.
You can't.
And like you say, you used to go to Dollywood as a kid.
You used to go to Dollywood?
No, you used to.
Oh, yes, I did. I was like, you went to
I've
Dollywood?
I've never been.
You've got to go to Dollywood. I'm singing there October 1st. You should make a trip. But Dollywood is like the most precious place in the whole world. Chef's kiss. I love it. It is like East Tennessee and the mountains all rolled up into one, and they sell cinnamon bread with icing on it. And it's delicious, and like bluegrass and country music sings out of every corner and crevice in the park. It is just, it is the best.
Oh, well, we'll definitely have to make the trip.
You've got to.
And finally, what is the rest of 2023 got in store for Emily Ann Roberts?
Well, it's going to be a busy year. I'm releasing my first full album.
Oh, wow.
Which is really exciting. So that's coming out this year. And then I'm on the road quite a bit, and I'm actually going to go international for the first time this year. I'm getting to sing in Norway at the end of the year. So that's going to be really, really fun. But all my dates are on my website, and we're going to be busy out hanging out and singing to as many people as we can. So it'll should be a good year.
How did the Norway date come about?
Well, you know, it's crazy. I released that song, Whole Lotta Little, that has kind of taken on a life of its own. And on my Spotify, you can see where your listeners are from. And my number two most, like, listeners are from Oslo in Norway. Right. Is that not crazy? I'm like, how did they find out about me? You know? And so I am really, really excited. I've got a lot of listeners over there, and I didn't know it. And so I'm finally going to get to go over there and play my music. And so I don't know if they found me on TikTok or where the folks over in Norway found me from, but I'm thankful they found me and I'm getting to go over there.
Well, you should make a quick detour and come to the UK and do a show across there.
I should. That'd be awesome.
Well, best of luck for the rest of the year with you. And enjoy the rest of CMA Fest and all the other performances that you've got going on. And we're like, hope to speak to you in the future.
Oh, thank you. It was so good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. So we are now joined by Kid G here at CMA Fest. How are you today?
Man, I'm hanging in there. It's a good day. I'm proud to be here for a second time.
Yeah. And how was it last year for you when you were here?
Man, last year I was full of nerves because, you know, it's the first time, didn't know what to expect. But everything went over well. I mean, it was amazing. Heck yeah.
And I can actually remember last year we've been up in the Farm Fair and the queue for your meet and greet was humongous. It was ridiculous.
Yes, sir. That was a real eye opener. I didn't think I'd have as many fans as I did here, and man, they showed up.
Yeah. So for the listeners back home in the UK, could you just tell them a tiny bit about Kid G and where you're from and where this all began?
Oh man, it's a long story. But no, name myself Kid G. I come from a small town in West Georgia. Started music when I was about 15 years old. And I really didn't think much of it until, you know, I had a couple songs come along. But more about myself, man, I'm wild, spontaneous. I love music. And once again, just a kid from a small town who loves hip-hop and country. And that's where I think my little curves come from in it. But, man, I just love music overall.
Yeah, good, because I obviously, listening to your music, you have, like, crossed genres before.
Yes, sir.
And, like, a lot of new artists are doing it nowadays. And, like, obviously, I think people like Kid Rock brought it in. Tim McGraw when he had that song with Nelly.
Yes, sir.
So, out of all the songs that you've got, which is, like, your favorite song that you've made?
Oh, my gosh. That's a hard one to pick. But right now, since I didn't put music out for a long time, so listening to the same songs got a little old. But I just put out a new single, Daylight Savings. And since it's new to the ear, it's a little bit easier to jam to, and it's one of my personal favorites, right? Yes, sir.
And do you have one of your favorite music videos? Because I've seen a whole host of them. Now, some that look crazy where you're driving through quad bikes on mud and everything like that.
Yes, sir, man. We got some crazy music videos, but I think my favorite one might be, it's probably Left Me with YNWB Slime. We got to go to Colorado for that. So that was awesome.
And like looking over, you've got like quite a few like accolades under your name and stuff. So what's been like one of the most like best things of your career so far?
Man, I was so blessed to just get done playing a hometown show this past May 19th. And dude, that was crazy because I used to sit like stand in that crowd and tell everybody, I'm like, I'm going to be up there one day. And they just looked at me like they seen a ghost. But going up there, man, I just seeing the hometown show up, it was awesome. One of the best feelings.
And if you could pick one person to have like collaborate on one of your songs, who would it be?
Oh, that's a good one. Man, it'd probably be Morgan Wallen.
Morgan Wallen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Heck yeah.
I would love to see like a whole host of like a big sort of jam with you on with Upchurch.
Oh, yeah.
People like that. And Chase Matthews.
Oh, yes.
Like,
sir.
If you could get like everyone on one track, that would be unbelievable.
Like a cypher. That'd be pretty cool. That'd be something right there.
Yeah. So, what the rest of 2023 got planned for yourself?
Oh my gosh. I think we just announced, don't hold me to, I think it's 36 new tour dates, but we have so many tour dates this year. Dropping a new single this coming up June 23rd. It's a song called Lesson Learned. Hopefully we keep getting more radio streams from my single we just dropped. But man, we're on four wheels on a roll right now. So we're just trying to keep up with everything. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, sir.
It's been
a pleasure.
Having
me. Yes, sir.
No worries. And enjoy the rest of your weekend here at CMFS. And I hope the rest of the 2023 is really successful for you as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you. So we're now joined by Darian Lee. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. By you?
Good. And
we're here at CMFS. So, like, how excited are you for this weekend?
Oh, I'm so excited. There's so many awesome shows going on. I feel like it'd be hard to not be excited about it. It's going to be so much fun.
And how many, like, shows are you playing this week?
This week I have three, so we're pretty busy, but that's good. Busy's a blessing.
Whereabouts are they?
Mine are all on Broadway this week, we're going to be taking Broadway.
And are you off to go and see any artists yourself this week?
I'm going to try my best to. I actually have some friends who are performing as well that I'd really love to go see if I'm able to run it through.
Okay. So for all of our listeners back home who may not have heard of you, could you just tell them, give them a description of who Darian Lee is?
Yeah. I'm a very small town girl from northern Minnesota, and I think you always get something that's very real, a little mix of country pop, that kind of 2020 feel of music, and you'll always get a good.
And can you remember one of your like earliest memories in music?
Oh, I played at a very, very small, like run-of-the-mill bar for like a contest, and it was like my first time singing public by myself in front of other people. And obviously like in contest forms, so kind of like baptism by fire.
All right.
But it was a good time. It was really special. And the room was really exceptional.
Oh, amazing. And who are some of your musical influences as well?
I love Shania Twain. Who doesn't?
Did you get to see her perform last night?
I mean, I feel like I did from all my friends' videos. But I didn't get to actually. But I love Shania Twain. I love Carly Pierce. I feel like I'm kind of a mix of them and Miranda. If they could all come together and make things, I feel like I'd be proud of that.
So out of all the songs that you've wrote, do you have a favorite song that you've written so far?
It's kind of like a different rating for each one. Some of them are more sassy and some of them are really sentimental. I just wrote one called Love Me, Let Me Sleep that I really, really like. And it's kind of a good in between. I guess I'd say that one right now, but that could change tomorrow.
Yeah. And when you said like that you make them where it's like more sassy or more like emotional and stuff, do you make them in terms of for like performing them live or like for when like come out on a single? Do you have that in mind when making them?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always a fan of a little bit of sass. So it's like it starts from that, from like birth to the time that people hear it.
And so in your career so far, what would you say your greatest achievement has been?
Oh, I don't know. There's been so many of them that have come, and sometimes it's so fast. At the same time that you have to like sit back and appreciate it, being recognized by the people that I've been recognized by, Three Rebels, Team A, and all the groups has been really, really special. And opening to the people that I've opened. hard to pick one specific one, but I'm really appreciative of them.
Yeah, we couldn't believe it when we looked at the little list of names that you'd opened for, yeah. And it was just like, well, there's some big names in there.
Yeah.
So, and out this weekend, who's the most, like, the act you're most looking forward to seeing?
Ooh, I would have probably said Shania Twain if I was able to go see her.
And what is the rest of the 2023 got in store for you?
I've got some opening acts up this summer for some festivals that I'm really excited for. A lot of the OGs in country music I'll be up for, like David Lee Murphy. So many. We got Lori Morgan, and like the list just goes on, and it's like crazy because it's just like the real experience to watch, not only to go from like yourself watching the audience performing to them, to then watching how they do their thing. They've had so many years to like really hone in on what they do, and it's kind of like studying in a way, like you're watching them in awe but also taking everything that they do, and I'm really looking forward to that, seeing their style of a show.
And can we expect more music from you as well?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. Enjoy the
festival. Best of luck with your performances and best of luck for the rest of the year with you.
Thank you. Hopefully
in time we'll get you across to the UK
to perform some
shows as well.
That'd be awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Enjoy.
What was supposed to be a holiday has turned into a bit of a working holiday, but hey ho, I'm not complaining.
That's absolutely amazing. And those four interviews as well were so different and just amazing on four different levels. Like they were all, as previous day before, all a different kind of part of the career. They all have slightly different takes on country music. Taylor Holder, obviously, as you all know, huge on TikTok and the social media scene, and he's kind of come into country music completely different direction. He's got so many other different ventures that he does as well. It's not just country music with him, which he'll talk about. Emily Ann Roberts, much more classical. She's from Tennessee. She's very much been brought up on and around country music. And obviously, we had Kidji and Darianne Lee as well, which unbelievable. And shorter interviews with them too. It was just really nice to see. And Kidji has a lot more of the hip hop vibe with country music. Good to see.
And it's nice, it's nice speaking to these people and in different stages of careers and just hearing a bit about their stories. That's the end and all. And it's really nice just to hear and sit down and actually speak to them in person. But it's been another fantastic day. Stay tuned for episode number 3 coming. And I think it's time for me and Ben to get some sleep.
Definitely.
Ready up for another early morning of some more fantastic interviews, which we'll not announce just yet, but you'll get to hear them next time.
Yep.
So thank you guys. Take care and speak to you on the next one.
Bye guys. Have fun. See you later.